For God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, in our doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ, we are on Roman numeral 7, I believe, although we might have skipped a couple points on the previous one. I will touch on that. First things first, rebound gets us in fellowship. This is how we reestablish fellowship with God, and when we're in fellowship, we have the potential to have fellowship with one another. If one of us is out of fellowship, then it kind of puts a damper on all that. It requires that we are in fellowship to have fellowship one with another and to be in the best possible position to appreciate spiritual information, because all Scripture is profitable and beneficial. You don't sit there and say, well, what's this got to do with my Christian life? It's got everything to do with your Christian life. If it's preserved and in the Word of God, there is a time and place to learn it, to review it, to have capacity for it. In this case, this doctrine gives you the ability to have occupation with Christ, the ultimate celebrity before God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that even though we live in a very hostile environment and very corrupt this time in history, we thank you that you provide for us fellowship in the Word of God, encouragement, and direction. Bless this Bible class to that end, in Christ's name. Amen. Sorry about last night. My apologies. I guess I was listening to the news. I was watching the wrong news deal. It said severe thunderstorms are coming through, and it was nothing. So, I've done that before. Anyway, God will work that for good too. As the God-man, Jesus can pronounce forgiveness of sins in the preceding point. He raises people from the dead, resurrection, and a judgment, which the only way you could have a perfect judgment is if you are deity, and he is the judge of all humanity, believer and unbeliever, at the appropriate time for the individual judgments. I gave you this one, but I'll do it again. Don't get too attached to down here. It's not hard for me not to be attached to all this. For our citizenship in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which place also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has to subject all things to himself. Ultimately, we'll get to witness this. Original creation, the witnesses were the angels, the angelic order. They witnessed the original creation. There were witnesses to it and how it came to be. And we will get to witness after the conclusion of human history. We will get to witness the elimination of this present earth and the establishment of the new one. The dissolution part is in Hebrews 1:10, quoting from the Old Testament. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. And they will become like an old garment, Like a mantle, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. And, of course, in the book of Revelation, the end of it, towards the end of it, very end of it, we have 2011. The establishment of the great white throne judgment, that's the final judgment. It includes unbelievers only from all history. It is a white throne, appropriately. And him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and the heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. That means that every member of the human race that has ever lived will see this earth and the heaven above it go out of existence. That means that the unbelievers will have to be resurrected and then judged. Get things in order here. They will be resurrected and they will see the earth they lived on removed. Then they will be judged in the void. And that's the final judgment, commonly called the last judgment. As I said, it involves the judgment of unbelievers. And him who sat upon it, that's of course Christ, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. That means creation in reverse, taken out of existence. And it will be with fire and a lot of noise. It could be done differently, but it's done that way. And I saw the dead, the great and the small. That's humans out of history. In their historical setting, there were those people who were called the great. You know, like Catherine the Great, when some of them called themselves the great. I just picked her arbitrarily. I don't know if she was a believer or not. The great and the small standing before the throne, and then we have the opening of the two sets of books. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in it, the books according to their deeds. And then this kind of recapitulates, because the earth's gone, but in case anyone thinks that it would be hard for God to retrieve a body because of all the different ways they end up, the scripture says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Many people have died and either perished in the ocean, or their bodies were like, you know, a burial at sea. They've done it where they a dead sailor is dropped into the water. So it just tells you that, so you understand it, reinforce it. And then, of course, Revelation 21:5. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And John was commissioned to write these words, for they are faithful and true. Christ possesses the titles of deity, Yahweh. This word is built around the to be verb, the Hebrew connective to be verb, Yahweh. Translated kurios in the New Testament in those verses, which we won't look up. He also comes under the title, there's two words for Lord in the Old Testament. There's Adonai, translated in the New Testament, kurios, which is the word for Lord in the New Testament, in the following passages. And then Elohim. Elohim is the Hebrew word for God. Theos in the Greek. The Elohim word, translated God in the Old Testament, has a plural suffix, I-M. In Isaiah 43, Christ is spoken of as both Yahweh and Elohim. The title Son of God and Christ deity. The title Son of God is used of both men and angels. the Job passage has angels coming before God. And it's used of men, of course, son or sons of God. It is used of Christ in a unique way, as seen in the term only or uniquely begotten son. Monogenes, one of a kind, unique, in a category all by itself. Only son, only daughter, it is used in that connection with regard to people that have just one son or one daughter or one child. Hebrews 11:7 offered up his only begotten son. Christ is the only uniquely begotten son. He falls in a special category. The above is explained in a threefold application of the title firstborn, prototokos, to teach the doctrine of eternal generation. And he is the firstborn of all creation. So it's used of his eternal deity, which is viewed in a relationship thing to the Father. He is the firstborn of all creation. Doesn't mean he was created. The second person was not created, but he is the firstborn of all creation. Hebrews 1:6, and when he again brings the firstborn into the world, that's the incarnation. To read his humanity into the doctrine, referring to his mother, she gave birth to her firstborn son. To further read his glorified humanity into the doctrine, Philippians 2:7. Philippians 2:7 is a prophecy fulfilled when Christ made his first ascension to heaven. Those of you who may not have been here, Christ has two ascensions. He never was in heaven in his humanity during his time on earth under the humiliation, the kenosis. His first trip to heaven is very auspicious. He led captivity captive, and he took into heaven all of these believers, all of them, from the beginning, from righteous Abel down through to that time, who had died. He took all of them and relocated them from the heart of the earth and the first humans to appear in heaven were this huge group. And Jesus appears in his resurrection body, and this is what the Father said to him on that occasion. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. That is a reference to his resurrection, because this happened late on Sunday, the first day of the week. Romans 8:29, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Christ is the only one currently with a resurrection body. People have been resurrected back to their natural state, back to life on earth as it was, but no one has a resurrection body. He's in the alpha category, which involves one person raised from the dead. He is the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. The priority is his. Revelation 1:5, the firstborn from the dead again. Summary, as eternal God, the Son, he has always been the firstborn. Via the virgin birth, his humanity became firstborn in hypostasis. That's the God-man. And his resurrection, his glorified hypostasis, achieved firstborn status. The angel of Yahweh, Romans 9, identifies and proves his deity. Now, in these Old Testament passages, the angel of Yahweh is a title, one of the titles for him. He's not an angel like angels, but it is the angel of Yahweh, found in all these verses. And in other verses, the angel of Yahweh is distinguished from Yahweh. All members of the Godhead enjoy the title Lord or Yahweh. And there is a distinction within the Godhead, thus establishing the doctrine of the plurality of the Godhead, Father, Son, and of course, Holy Spirit. So, the angel of Yahweh is distinguished from Yahweh if you were to read these passages. The angel of Yahweh is the second person of the Godhead. He is the manifest God of the Old Testament. He was manifested in this angel of Yahweh category. He no longer appears in this capacity, of course, after the incarnation. This was simply in the Old Testament times. He appeared to individuals as the angel of Yahweh. God sent both. Christ is called Yahweh in New Testament quotations of Old Testament passages, which we noted in the preceding. 10, other theophany. Now, a theophany is a manifestation of God to a human being, and it can come in a whole variety of forms where God would appear. A good example is the burning bush, where he became known as, for the first time, even though the word is used of him before in Genesis, remember, Moses is writing this after the fact. This name was attached to God and to the second person and the other members as well. But the burning bush, he became known as the I Am. It's the cal perfect and the cal imperfect of the to be verb. In the Greek, haya, Greek aimi, excuse me, reflected in the I Ams of John's gospel. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine. So it's carried over. That theme is carried over. The pillar of cloud and fire. Now that was a very large, expansive theophany. But it was a theophany. It was, of course, not a natural phenomena at all. It was a supernatural phenomena that appeared like a cloud and also appeared like a pillar of fire. That was with Israel during their Exodus journeys. They had both a pillar of fire and a cloud. This, again, we've seen these, but anyway, is. Let me see here. 13:21. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way. So the Exodus and their itinerary was perfectly laid out for them. They just followed the cloud, if it went straight or if it turned or if it stopped or if it picked up and started to move out. They broke camp and moved forward. So all of their itinerary, which is laid out in the Bible, and in a pillar of fire by night. If Israel was going to march at night, they needed light. So it was the cloud changed to a pillar of fire, that they might travel by day and by night. The one gives them shade. And during the hot sun, from the hot sun, and the other one gives them light, if necessary, warmth, if they were marching at, it wasn't always convenient for them just to march at daytime. This is a long line of people, and it takes a long time for everybody to get in place if they're moving to a different location. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. This continued with them throughout the entire time they were in the wilderness. So a pillar of cloud and fire, and these other citations reference it here. A man, an ordinary man. I say ordinary. He isn't, you know, shining and bright. He's just a man. Angels, as we know, can manifest themselves as regular human beings. So could the Lord in that sense. Nothing goofy here, nothing about God can shrink and reduce himself, because he's still omnipresent. But he can manifest himself in a human form as he did to Abraham, as we looked at it. excuse me. To Abraham and to Jacob. Observations on those who deny the deity of Christ. These people are lumped into a general term, anti-Christ. Who is the one, who is the liar, but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And these attacks on his person come from a lot of different variety of sources, academia, cults, religious groups that do not hold fast to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's been a lot of that, and a lot of that goes on in history. These are all antichrists. This is the antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son, the unique relationship between the Father and the Son. These are antichrists. 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that does not confess Christ is not from God. To confess Jesus is not from God. That's a false spirit. Whatever things they say, and there's a lot of people parading around and have their equivalent of what they call church. What's one sign I see? Christ the Scientist. That's over on Portland. Yeah, right. That whole thing. All the major cults, a lot of people mess this up. And what in effect they are doing is they are, what Paul says, proclaiming another Jesus. But there isn't another Jesus, but they're proclaiming this fiction to people. He was just a good man. He was just this or that, to outright, you know, rejection of him. So, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. You're going to walk away from them, all of them. When they, Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses, they all seem pious and all the rest of it. But if you look into their belief system, you'd have no part in it. No part in it. What kind of a system says Jesus and Lucifer were brothers? Just a quick example. And these are big groups. Well, Mormonism's a big group. An older woman, she was young, and a very young woman in her teens, come knocking on our door one time. Jehovah Witnesses. I believe that's what they were. I don't have any time for them. I didn't treat them bad. I just said I was a pastor and gave a quick gospel thing, and they turned and walked off. She was taken in by it. Christians are taken in by these cults. Right and left. We've even seen in our own church how far south, so to speak, some believers have gone after they've left here. I mean into things that aren't even by nominally Christian. And all the other stuff. This is what can happen to a believer. They're still believers. And they were once ostensibly positive believers. But they got around the wrong stuff, associated with the wrong stuff. Oh, they're nice people. Really? Well, there's nice Muslims, I suppose. There's nice Catholics. There's nice atheists. That means nothing to God. They're enemies of God. They're negative. And they're in deep trouble spiritually. Modern liberal Christianity is included in this. I mean, I went to church as a young fellow in Hot Springs, South Dakota. I went to church. I was searching. I had a friend. He was Catholic. So I'd go with him, and I couldn't get anything out of it. So I went up to the United Church of Christ, which is the Church of Christ you're thinking of. It was three kinds of denominations under one roof: Presbyterian, Methodist, and Baptist. It was like this, you know, this, and I just went in there, you know, thinking, I can at least understand what the guy's saying. I'm not listening to someone get up here and talk in Latin. And then a priest gives up a little homily, their equivalent of a sermon. you know, be good, blah, 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 blah. Well, I've been told that all my life too. Well, it didn't get me anywhere. So I blew the Catholic off, and then I finally blew the other one off too. I kept thinking the minister was going to tell me something about, I don't know, for whatever reasons, the Bible. But the Bible was just kind of over here, and this was all about all this other stuff. And, you know, what we today call the social gospel. Go out and do good and get involved in charity work and things like that. No, no, no doctrine. So, and this is in your Bible. The Bible gives different categories of ministers of the Word of God. The unbeliever who's posing as a Christian. See? That's the one category. He never even saved. It's the old, the blind leading the blind. And I finally became cynical and walked out of there too. To entertain us teenagers, they had a periodically a sock hop. You ever heard of one of those? That's where girls wore socks, the little socks, and we'd dance. And I thought, well, I can go down here and listen to rock and roll with a bunch of people in this auditorium. When they bring Jerry Lee Lewis through or Chubby Checker. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. That's okay. And man, was that music loud. I mean, loud. And a lot of juvenile delinquency came out of it. Because it's a bunch of kids getting together under their STAs and carrying on. You know, this is I remember the music would play. They played so darn loud that they had these folding doors that went into the restroom and they moved back and forth like that. And so when they did this in the church or tried to do it in the church, I thought, you're just trying to, well, what's the point of this? See? But that's what churches do. They're trying all the kind of ways to draw people in other than Bible doctrine. I don't have to say that. You ought to know that by now. Absolutely. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you've heard that it is coming, and now is already in the world. 1 John 2:18. Just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, the early Christians were informed that a special category of human being was going to come on the scene that was going to be called the Antichrist. Many Antichrists have gone out in the world. Anyone who's claiming to be the Messiah. And there are those today around that are. Jews, an Iranian, who God knows who else. Guy from South Korea. He's dead now. But he was claiming to be the Messiah. So everything in the Bible about the false prophets, false Christs, they just are proliferating all over. And in the early church, this was a satanic attack, these false Christs. So we know, just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. This is in John's day. This is early on in the church age. I mean, it's within the first century. Okay, later on in the first century. This stuff just exploding all over the place. And look what we've had. Almost 2,000 years of history for all the accumulation of these false teachers and false Christs. It is the basis for eternal condemnation. He who has the Son has life. How do you have the Son? You believe in Jesus Christ. Under gospel hearing. He who has the Son has the life. That's the life, eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. Literal Greek. The ultimate life, eternal life. It is characteristic of cults, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, Armstrongism, all the rest of it. It is prophesied of future liberalism. The Bible prophesies that theological, if you want to call it that, liberalism will arise. And that these people are without scruples. And this is ongoing. They understood. The dark side understood. We've got to infiltrate these. Otherwise, fundamentalist Christian groups, seminaries, it would be so easy in these big mega churches. So easy. Because they're, we love everybody, you know, or whatever. And so they don't exercise discernment. So these people weasel their way in to all these Christian organizations. You know that in the beginning of our history, Harvard was an elite college out east, Harvard. It was a school dedicated to training men for the ministry and the preaching of the gospel of Christ. They're so far removed from that today, you can't even believe it. And this didn't happen overnight. Presbyterian Church, and Princeton University. They were real conservative. Yeah, they were screwed up about, you know, they were on the Calvinist side of things. But they were real conservative. And I have some books written by some of them defending against other liberals, inerrancy, that the Bible is without error in the original languages, and that the Bible came about just like they said it was, not, come out of that liberal school in Germany, you know, that said the different parts of the Old Testament were written by the priestly, the Jehovah's, and everything. They made all this stuff up. It was kind of like the evolution of the Old Testament. And so there were those who fought against that. I can imagine where they're at today, because they've infiltrated the Christian ranks. They do this. Jesuits do this, posing as one of you, but they're somebody else. For those of us here, we have no frame of reference for acting anyway. This is who we are, and that's it. Not that you couldn't have someone that isn't really on board with the teaching, but they're not going to get very far around here. One, I don't share my pulpit with anybody. Period. I am the right pastor, and that's it. And we don't go for that. Yeah, call me up on the phone. Said I'd like to teach in your Sunday school. Over my dead body, I don't even treat them nice. Who do you think you are? God's gift to churches? I can't even imagine what some of those people are and what their real motives are. One guy even threatened me. Oh, please. So, it is prophesied of liberalism, 2 Peter 2:1. Who will secretly, this is a prophecy from Peter's perspective, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. They don't just come running in there and say, hey, this is what we believe. They secretly introduce this stuff. Even denying the master who bought them. Christ died for these guys. Even denying the master, taking it so far as to distort the whole doctrine here that we've been looking at. Bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and also Jude 4. That was the book right there before Revelation. There we are. Jude was getting ready to write a treatise on doctrinal stuff about our common salvation. And then he got news that they were already doing it back in his day. They crept in unnoticed into Christian churches and assemblies. They crept in unnoticed. And then he goes on about that sort of thing. And by now, this infiltration is everywhere. Practically, the protection we have is we teach doctrine and God weeds out those that aren't of us. It's that simple. This is the way it works. I don't have to do anything. Now, I would stand up against anything that anyone's trying to teach. Some people have tried and taught some things. This is way in the past. In the prep school, I didn't approve of. See? They knew I wouldn't like it. So it doesn't slow them down, does it? The Lord taught the doctrine in conclusion, I and the Father are one. Now that set the Jews off. But they should have studied the Bible. They should have known that the coming Messiah was equal with deity in that he was divine. The difference is he was human too. I and the Father are one. And the Jews took up stones to stone him. So don't feel like you're in bad company if you're persecuted for your belief system. All right, that's it. I'll see you Sunday. Usual time, usual place. Be sure to be here. If you know anybody that has been lapsing or not here, as God leads, I'm not trying to tell you to, you know, just jump up and do it. Do what you can to encourage them. People come up with some of the silliest stuff why they're not here. I don't feel like I'm good enough. It can be anything. Get over it and get here. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.